left. Tough shot. Made it. Into the line.
Bad pass. Kept away and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Scored!
Jones. Watford for the win. Yes!
It's in the air. It's in the air.
What's going on, Hoosier fans? Welcome back to another edition of Podcast on the Brink. Matt Dollinger here. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Justin Albers. Justin, March Madness is officially here. How you doing?
So excited, Matt. Can't wait for Thursday and Friday to start so we can get some games under our belt.
No kidding. Yep, IU plays Friday afternoon, and we've got a lot to talk about the Hoosiers today, and we've got a great guest for you. We are joined once again by Matt Roth, former Indiana Hoosier sharpshooter, and now future bracketologist. Matt, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just trying to get a hang on this whole being a bracketologist. Not sure how it's going to work out, but I think I've got a pretty good idea.
Well, the good news is, everyone who really does that kind of stuff, they're amateurs too, so don't feel too bad about that.
All right.
Well, Matt, the first thing we wanted to talk about before we dive into the tournament is IU-Wisconsin. The Hoosiers obviously didn't finish the Big Ten tournament they wanted to. The Badgers had their number again. We've seen it a bunch over the years. It just seems that Bo Ryan, when he faces Tom Crean, the Badgers play their best basketball. You've faced Wisconsin plenty of times, and I know those teams weren't very different than the one IU faced the other day. What is it about the Badgers? Why do they have so much success against the Hoosiers?
Well, I think you have to look at the body of work that Bo Ryan's been able to do. I saw a stat the other day where in his 13 years, I believe he's 13 for 13 on the NCAA tournament. So that tells me right off the bat there's plenty of other teams in the Big Ten who probably have the same feeling we do. That being said, he does a great job of recruiting the kinds of kids that are going to fit into his system. And he doesn't vary from it. If you watch the course of what they do every year, they're probably one of the more consistent teams in the country. And to beat them, you have to play at the highest of levels. And you don't have to play a perfect game, but you've got to play pretty close to a perfect game to beat them and really outwork them on every possession because they don't take very many possessions off.
Going back to last year, Matt, how frustrating is it to play a game against a team that wants to slow it down and give you as few possessions as you can possibly get in a game when all you guys want to do is run up and down and try and get as many transition points as you can?
It's frustrating, but going into the game it's going to be that way, and you do everything you can to try and speed a team up like that. And, Wisconsin traditionally handles the ball very well. They don't turn it over a lot, and it's hard to speed a team like that up. And then when you add in the fact that they make a lot of tough shots at the end of the shot clock, it's hard to reward your defense if you guard somebody for 35, seconds and they hit a fadeaway shot off glass at the buzzer. That breaks you down a little bit. It makes you wonder, how much harder do we have to play on defense to get a stop on these guys? They're hitting everything, and they tend to hit a lot of those timely shots when the shot clock's running down, and that's a skill that, they obviously practice a lot and play that system, so they've gotten pretty good at that.
You think Wisconsin is the one Big Ten team the Hoosiers would really rather not face in the tournament, or is there anyone else that stands out to you when you look at the bracket and you say, I hope IU doesn't run into them?
I'd prefer not to see any of the Big Ten teams because I think, the level of this conference and what we've been through all year, I think I'd rather see Wisconsin than see a Michigan or Michigan State, because one of the hardest things to do in sports is to beat the same team three times. And I'd rather see somebody like Wisconsin, who we know we're going to have a lot to prove against. That being said, I'm glad that they're not in our bracket because they do seem to have our number. And, it looks like we got pretty lucky in who we drew, with only having, I think, one other Big Ten team in there with us.
Matt Roth is with us. Matt, I want to talk quickly about an issue that seems to be kind of persisting with this team, and Tom Crean talks about it often, the issue of over-helping on defense and sometimes leaving shooters open. It's something he's mentioned in several of their losses this year. how much was overhelping an issue when you were on the team last year, and how do you think the Hoosiers can correct that going into the tournament?
It just comes down to being locked in. When you're playing in the speed of a game and you get wrapped up in something, sometimes you'll run off the wing and leave a guy who's a great shooter to try and help out on, a point guard who maybe is not great at scoring the basketball. And that's one of those situations where you got to know the scouting report in the moment, the heat of the moment, and stay home and trust that, somebody's going to cut that guy off going down the lane, or a big guy is going to rotate over. You just got to stay disciplined. And, I don't think it's a issue of, not trusting each other. They've done a great job on defense this year all year. And when you get into this time of the year, the margin for error is so small that if you overhelp by half a step, that may be all, a guy needs to get shot off. And so you got to step up the level of engagement. You got to know who you're guarding. You got to know who you're getting switched out onto. You can never afford to, make a switch or rotate out of a helpline situation and not have a hand up if you're guarding a shooter.
Matt, one of the things I figure is the hardest thing about March Madness and playing in the tournament is the turnaround and getting ready for opponents on short notice. Can you tell us just a little bit about what the preparation is like for the NCAA tournament and just how it differs from the rest of the year?
Well, obviously the biggest difference is the turnaround, which I'm sure drives the coaches nuts. And as a player, you kind of like it because you sit there, you win your game, you watch the team you play, they win, and now you're just ready to go play right then and there. And the coaches, on the other hand, they're scrambling, trying to watch film and try and figure out, different types of scouting reports to throw together. So I'm sure from a coaching standpoint, it's a little bit more stressful than a player standpoint. But it's definitely unique having the one-day turnaround. I enjoyed it in my time, especially last year in the NCAA tournament, because, it's almost like playing in the pros to an extent. You finish up your game, you go eat dinner, you get off your feet for an hour or two, and then you come back together as a group and lock in. You watch film on your opponent. Maybe you watch not a highlight tape, but a series of, I don't know if it's a game where they played really well, maybe watch them play at their best, and then, settle into the scouting report and learn about some of their tendencies, and then it's off the bed, and you wake up in the morning, and usually you'll go through a walkthrough and in the hotel, then you'll go off to practice for a little while, and maybe run through some of the other team sets, and then, it's time to go play the game. So it's a quick turnaround, probably stresses the coaches out a lot more. From a player standpoint, it's a unique feeling. Just you're learning the basics, and then probably 65-70% of the game's going to come down to what you've done all year, your core responsibilities. If you're a team that's going to play great helpline defense, well, you're not going to change that on a short notice. You're going to stick to what you do and go out there and rely on your teammates to win the game. And so it's a fun time. It's definitely a unique situation, but you see throughout the course of the Big Ten year, short turnarounds and stuff like that. So the teams are all prepared for it. It's just a matter of how they're going to react and handle it.
I don't know how much you've had a chance to look at and study the bracket yet, but what do you think about Indiana's East region, and how do you see that region going? Who gives Indiana the toughest game on their trip to Atlanta?
I think overall it's a pretty good draw. No complaints there. The biggest scare for me comes in NC State in that 8-9 game. If they were to beat Temple, they obviously our team, we played last year in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and I've got a lot of respect for what their guys are able to do, and they return a majority of those guys. That being said, they're a couple close games away from probably being a 5 seed, and they dropped all the way down to an 8, which is a tough break for them, and it's going to be a tough matchup. If we run into them, I see them being a very physical, very Minnesota-like team, which could give us some problems. But at the same time, I don't think it's enough to put a roadblock up for us. But when I saw that 8-9 game, I was thinking, wow, NC State is an 8 seed. That's going to, that game stood out to me. But it's nothing we can't handle. And you know, we're obviously going to have a lot of confidence going into that game if both teams win, which I expect them to. And then from there, you know, it's a pretty open bracket. It's, you know, I was glad not to see a Michigan State or a Michigan or Wisconsin in there with us. I don't know that Illinois has the tools to make a run that far into the postseason, but I like having Miami as our 2 seed. It'll be interesting to see if we get to the point, have a little Indiana Marquette matchup. That could be a possibility, which I'm sure all the, you know, the press and the TV people want to see that, because it'd be a great story for, you know, the coaching staffs and where the programs have both kind of gone. It seems like they've both, you know, continued to grow, and obviously IU's grown a little bit more so, but both programs continue to be an elite level. So I think it's going to be an interesting bracket. I think it's definitely one that, you know, Indiana can come out of as the champions in the East there. And then once you get to the Final Four, anything could happen from there. So,
Matt, what do you think is the key to IU getting to the Final Four? Is it one guy stepping up in particular, you think, or is it them doing something overall as a whole? Is there anything that you can kind of pinpoint that you think will be critical to their success?
I think they just need to just be them. You know, they've been scouted by the Big Ten all season. You know, teams are playing them different ways. Now you're going out there and you're playing against, you know, 6 opponents, hypothetically, if they were to win it all, that are going to probably not be opponents they've seen before, with the exception of maybe a team here or there. So they just need to go out and be who they are. They need to, you know, go out, share the ball. And, you know, I'd love to see 5, 6 guys in double figures in almost every game, because that's when they're playing at their best. When they're sharing the ball, and when guys are coming off the bench and giving them great minutes offensively, defensively. I think that's going to be the key. Just, you know, nobody needs to go out there and be the superstar. They haven't been that kind of team all year. They've been a team where, you know, maybe somebody comes out of there with 18, 19 points, and then you've got 4 or 5 other guys in that 10 to 14 point range and put some points on the board. I think that's definitely going to be a key to that. To their success, and then ultimately they're going to have to defend, rebound, and that'll give them chances to get out in transition. And when they're out in transition, there's not a better team in the country.
Matt Roth is with us. Matt, how do you see the Final Four shaping up? Who do you have coming out of each region?
I've got Louisville coming out of the Midwest. I've got New Mexico coming out of the West, which scared me at first, but then the more I looked at that bracket, I thought they had a great road to get to the Final Four. So I took New Mexico there, and then from the East, I took Indiana, of course. And that wasn't a no-brainer, but I thought there was a lot of good matchups. And I did have that story I talked about with Indiana-Marquette matchup in the Elite Eight, which would be a lot of fun. And I took Georgetown out of the South. I really think, and I thought this early in the year when they first played, I think I actually told my dad that was probably going to be one of our best wins of the year. And Georgetown continue to grow, and obviously, you know, they did a lot of great things in the Big East, and I feel like they can come out of that South region. So, and then from there, I've got an all Midwest showdown, so we'll see what happens from there. But I like my Hoosiers. I don't want to, you know, jinx them or anything like that, but you know, I'll take them against anybody, and it doesn't matter, you know, if it's an NCAA tournament or if it's one game in the summer, I'm going to stick with my guys.
Yeah, I like that confidence, and I think you would have broken a lot of hearts if you'd gone with someone else, so that's good to hear. And yeah, Georgetown, you know, I think they are really tough, and just like you said, I think IU bought low on beating Georgetown. We've just kind of seen that stock rise all year, all the way up to them being a 2 seed in the tournament, so that could be a great rematch if they meet in the Final Four. I'm kind of hoping they do. Justin, what about you? Do you see IU coming out of the East?
Yeah, I do, Matt. I think they'll get there. I don't think Miami is the strongest 2 seed, even though they've had a great season, and I think they're a better matchup for Indiana than some of these other teams in the tournament. And I don't see Syracuse being that huge of a threat if they get there in the Sweet 16. So I have Indiana. I actually have 3 Big Ten teams in my Final Four. Indiana coming out of the East, Michigan coming out of the South, Ohio State coming out of the West, and Louisville coming out of the Midwest, with Louisville and Indiana in the championship game.
Wow, a lot of Big Ten. Well, Matt, thanks so much again for coming on the program. We love hearing your thoughts and your analysis, and don't be surprised if Don Fisher gives you a call sometime soon to call some games next year. I think you got a future in this business.
Oh, it'd be a lot of fun. I'd have a tough time getting a word in with him. He knows a lot more about the game than the average fan. So it'd be a lot of fun if I ever had the chance to sit down with him and talk basketball. I know he's talked about getting me out on the golf course, which probably isn't in my best interest right now. But it's a lot of fun, and he's a great guy.
Yeah, I don't think you want to face him on the golf course either. I hear he's pretty tough out there.
Yeah, I need to make sure if I do, I keep a tight hold on my billfold, because it sounds like he could clean my pockets.
So. That's good thinking. Well, Matt, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take a short break. And when we come back, Justin and I are going to break down the bracket and give you our NCAA tournament picks. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Justin and I are now going to dive into the bracket, break it down, give you our picks for the Final Four. We're going to start with the East. Justin, I know it's easy to say IU is going to come out, but I see a lot of teams that could give them trouble. Who are you the most worried about?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Matt on the NC State pick in the second game. I think a lot of people just kind of pencil them in for the Sweet 16 against Syracuse or UNLV or a team like that. But NC State's a team that was preseason top five, and while they didn't perform to that level, they certainly have the talent to perform to that level. And C.J. Leslie, one of the best offensive rebounders, one of the better rebounders in the country this year, he gave them problems last year up there at NC State. That was one of Indiana's first key signature wins in bringing the program back, and that's pretty much the same team. They have shooters on the outside. They have a lot of big bodies on the inside. That certainly won't be an easy game. And then Syracuse, if you play them the very next weekend, is also a very physical team that's going to play a 2-3 zone and extend it against you. And Indiana really hasn't seen defense like that. So a lot of people might say Miami or Marquette in that Elite Eight game, but I'd go with NC State or Syracuse in one of those second or third games.
You know, I was surprised that of all the teams Matt mentioned, he didn't mention Syracuse, because that's the one that really stands out to me as the toughest test for the Hoosiers, a potential Sweet 16 matchup. You know, Syracuse is a 4 seed, and we saw them play some terrible games at the end of the year. I'm not denying that, but they were once, I'm pretty sure, the number one team in the country, and they've got a lot of players that could give IU trouble. I think James Sutherland would be tough in the post. I think Michael Carter-Williams would be a tough matchup for IU. I'm pretty sure Oladipo would go on him. But, you know, then who guards Brandon Trish? And you've got C.J. Fair, too. And, you know, the one thing that's good about Syracuse is that they traditionally play a lot of zone. And I think IU would like to see that, considering, you know, their ability to shoot the three. But that game really worries me. When I look at the bracket, I think, ooh, I hope Montana can beat Syracuse or UNLV can knock them off, because that could be a tough game for the Hoosiers. What do you think?
If James Sutherland continues to shoot the three-pointer like he did in the Big East tournament last week, then it's definitely going to be a tough matchup. I think he made something like 18 threes in the 4 games that they played up there in Madison Square Garden. But over the years, Syracuse has been a team that has been prone to the early round upset. So, yeah, like you said, hopefully Montana or UNLV can knock them off, but I really don't see that with the way that they're playing heading into the tournament.
And then on the other side of the bracket, you know, Miami, Marquette, Butler, you know, those are three teams IU doesn't want to see. Obviously, someone's going to emerge from over there. Who do you think is the best matchup for IU?
I actually think Miami would be the best matchup of those three, because Miami's a team, while they have performed really, really well, and they're fully capable of going to the Final Four and getting to the national championship, they're a team, when they struggle a little bit, they're kind of prone to yell at each other. We saw some of that in the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. They get down on each other because they really haven't been here before. None of them have. And they're a senior-laden group that doesn't want to lose. So if Indiana starts getting ahead on them, starts frustrating them with defense from Oladipo, then you could start seeing them blame one another and make it a little bit easier on Indiana. But I think Indiana actually matches up really well with Miami if we get to that point in the Elite Eight.
I agree with you. I think IU does match up well with Miami. You know, just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, though, if Miami was named Duke or North Carolina and they'd won the ACC regular season title and the conference tournament, they'd be a one seed. But, you know, because they're the Hurricanes, they get a two seed. So that's a tough matchup, for, you know, or a tough break for IU to get, you know, essentially the fifth one seed in their bracket.
Right.
All right, let's move on to the South. The other region on IU's side of the bracket. Kansas is the one seed. Georgetown is the two. We just talked about them with Matt. I think, you know, the two Matts like Georgetown. Justin, what do you think?
I told you I thought Michigan would go to the Final Four out of this region. My pick really is if the winner of that Michigan-VCU game in the second round, if that is to happen, I think that team goes to the Final Four. I'm really high on VCU. I think they have the talent to go to the Final Four again. They're very dangerous with that Havoc defense. They beat Butler by 30 points earlier in the season. And you would figure Trey Burke would be able to handle that okay. But if he doesn't and VCU somehow gets past that game, I think they give Kansas all kinds of fits in the Sweet 16 and eventually make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, the South's got two amazing matchups potentially this weekend. Michigan-VCU, just like you said, and then Kansas-North Carolina with Roy Williams, you know, in Kansas City. Those are two great matchups. I wonder if the, you know, the committee did it on purpose. If they did, you know, thank you. If not, you know, I can't believe it. But, you know, I think the South is going to be one of the most interesting regions to watch. You know, and like we haven't even talked about Florida. A three seed, a team that was number one earlier this year. UCLA is a team that has all kinds of problems, but they're just loaded. I mean, that's a really tough region.
Yeah, and I wouldn't sleep on Minnesota as an 11 seed either. That's a very physical team, a team with a six-year senior in Trevor Mbakwe, and I think Andre Hollins will play well in the tournament. I actually have them beating UCLA, and I think they'll give Florida a really good game in that second round.
I'm going chalk. I'm going Kansas-Georgetown in the Elite Eight, but I am taking Georgetown to beat Kansas there. You know, I think I've got a man crush on Otto Porter or something. I think that's why I'm going with the Hoyas. I hope Greg Rosenstein's listening to this. He'd really appreciate that. All right, we're going to the West. This is the one I think is probably the weakest region. And that really isn't a testament to Gonzaga being the one seed. I'm just going, you know, from top to bottom, and I don't see as many hard outs as I do in the East and the South. Do you agree, or am I a little off on that one?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think some of the high seeds are teams that had good regular seasons, but teams I don't see really being that big of threats in the postseason. Teams like Kansas State, Arizona, New Mexico, everybody's high on. I'm not as high on them. Ohio State could easily win this region if they continue to get the offensive production they've gotten from Aaron Kraft lately. One of their biggest problems in the regular season was they had DeSean Thomas scoring 26 mm-hmm. and nobody else scoring anything significant. So if Kraft can continue to be an offensive contributor, I think Ohio State can get out of this region. But if not, I mean, it's wide open. You could have Wisconsin as a five seed somehow getting to the Final Four. It's pretty wide open in this region.
Yeah, I just got a hunch that Gonzaga is going to be knocked off by someone before they get to the Sweet 16 or in the Sweet 16 maybe. Wisconsin's definitely a favorite. I mean, Wisconsin can frustrate anybody. And, you know, it's just a matter of if they can score 55 points or not. Ohio State and New Mexico are the teams I really like out of the West, and they're going to meet pretty early on. A bunch of people are taking New Mexico to come out of the West. They really seem like a popular semi-sleeper pick. But I'm with you. Ohio State, Aaron Kraft, and DeSean Thomas, I think they're, you know, maybe the two best players overall in that region. And I think they're going to be enough to take them to the Final Four. You know, maybe we could see a potential Big Ten championship game. Who knows? All right, moving on to the Midwest, last region. Louisville, the overall number one atop the region. We got Duke as the number two seed. Michigan State is the number three. I'm pretty sure you said you have the Spartans coming out. Is that right?
I've got Louisville coming out. Louisville in the championship. I just think they're playing too well. They have too many areas they can beat you on offense and defense. And with that, the way that they're pressing, in the second half of the season and in the Big East tournament. It's given teams all kinds of problems. VCU-like problems with their press, with the amount of quickness they can throw at you. But I wouldn't sleep on St. Louis in this region either. That's a really good team. I got to watch them a lot in the Atlantic 10, watching some Butler games this year. And St. Louis certainly has the talent to beat Louisville in the Sweet 16 and possibly advance to the Final Four. But I just think Louisville's playing too strong of basketball at this time of year, and they'll ultimately advance by beating Michigan State in the Elite Eight.
I'm with you. I'm on the SLU bandwagon. And, you know, while I think Louisville definitely deserves the number one overall seed, I think that's going to be a real tough test for them and maybe the toughest test of any one seed in the Sweet 16. I really think that they're going to give the Cardinals all they can handle. And then on the other side, you know, Michigan State versus Duke, I would love to see that game. Izzo versus Coach K is definitely one of those matchups I would actually pay money to see in person. Who do you think comes out if Michigan State and Duke face each other?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a flip a coin game because both teams, I mean, those teams really match up fairly well. And I take Michigan State. I guess I'm just a Big Ten homer, but I think Michigan State would win by 3 or 4 points if those two teams meet, but I do really want to see it.
There's no problem showing your conference allegiance. You know, it does seem we keep talking about Big Ten being the best conference in the country and yada, yada, yada. So that probably means they're going to suffer just a ton of upsets in the opening weekend, right?
Of course. Why not?
Do you see this being a chalk year where a bunch of one seeds make it to the Final Four like we saw a couple years ago? Or do you think, you know, the craziness that has been this past year with the number one teams, you know, seemingly changing every week, that we're just going to have a scatterbrain Final Four in Atlanta?
I mean, there's so much parity this year that I think you could end up with four ones. I don't see any way Gonzaga makes it to the Final Four for one. So at most, you're going to get three in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't really like Kansas because while they've played well late in the season, they're a team that's played so up and down over the course of the year. They're able to lose to TCU and beat some of the best teams in the country. So you never really know what you're going to get from them. And if they have to go through teams, either North Carolina or Villanova, both tough tests in the second game, and then either VCU or Michigan, and then Georgetown, I mean, it's just going to be difficult for them to make it to the Final Four. So I don't think it's going to be a chalk year. I would take maybe two number one seeds in Louisville and Indiana to make it there.
I just tend to gravitate towards the stars in March. You know, Kansas with Ben McLemore and Jeff Withey. Like I said, my man crush on Otto Porter and Georgetown. You know, I just think that a star makes such a big difference, and a guy you can go to carry the team. You look at over the years, Wally Szczerbiak, you know, Steph Curry, players like that. It doesn't have to be a big school necessarily, but it's just all about, you know, that one guy. Maybe I should be taking Creighton. I don't know. Maybe I've been overlooking them. Do you agree with that, or, you know, maybe am I hyping up stars a little bit too much?
Yeah, I think you have to have a star, and I think the star having tournament experience helps too, because when you're in those critical moments and some guys don't know who to turn to or what to do, I think a star can really help lift you through that. And like you mentioned, we saw that with Steph Curry and Davidson a few years back. I would definitely agree with that. So who do you think of all the players in this tournament is the biggest star? Would you take Trey Burke, Otto Porter, Oladipo? Who do you think has the biggest star?
That's tough. You know, when I would probably take a guard over a big man just because the ball is going to be dominated by them so much. And, you know, you see so many possessions, especially when Wisconsin's playing, where you dribble for 25 seconds and then you try and do something. You know, Trey Burke has got to be maybe the most dangerous player in the tournament, because just for that reason. And, you know, they're a four seed, so they're not getting as much discussion as they might have been if they'd finished a little bit stronger. But, yeah, when I have a hard time naming someone that's more dangerous than Trey Burke. I think, you know, it's nothing against Cody Zeller or someone like that, but sometimes the ball just doesn't find his hands in the closing seconds. When it does, they're capable of great. IU's capable of great things, as we saw. But sometimes it just doesn't get out of the guard's hands. You see it stick in their hands. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that, because as much as Cody Zeller might want to make a play on the final two possessions of the game and try and win it for his team like he did in Michigan, he might not get that opportunity because he's not the one dribbling it up and deciding where to go with the ball on the offense. So if you're taking anybody from Indiana, you're probably taking Oladipo. But yeah, I think you have to go with Trey Burke because his team goes as he goes, and his team has the potential to make a Final Four run if he's playing good basketball, sharing it, making big shots at the end of the shot clock and at the end of games. But if he's missing shots, like we already talked about, they could easily lose in that first game, and they could very easily lose in that second game against VCU.
Man, I am excited for March Madness. Is it Thursday yet?
Not quite, but we're getting close.
All right, well, let's come back on Thursday with another show once we find out who IU is going to be facing, either LIU or James Madison. If it is James Madison, you can count on an appearance from Dustin Dopierak, the James Madison expert and graduate. He'd be a good guy to have on. LIU Brooklyn, I don't know anyone from over there, but I am pretty close to Brooklyn, so maybe we should just go record the show from over there.
Yeah, you can be the expert on LIU Brooklyn. You can study up and then say, broadcasting live from the Long Island University at Brooklyn, Matt Dollinger.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue, but yeah, we could go with that.
It does not.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Like I said, Justin and I will be back Thursday, so check back with Inside the Hall. Until then, for Justin, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.